What a blessing it is to be here tonight to gather a few thoughts, and then we'll make our way home. Satan at one time brought out a full assault against creation. And we know that when he did that, man, when they partook of that fruit, Eve, she was deceived. And then Adam partook of that fruit. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that Adam brought in sin. Man has had a problem with sin ever since. But thanks be to God that God gave us a remedy. He's given us something to remove the sin, if you will, to take away sin. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. You know, the more I was thinking about this, I thought about a few years ago of a man that had high blood pressure, cholesterol was high, overweight. The next thing you know, over a period of time, he began to change his eating, began to take the medicine. And that doctor said, you no longer have to take that medicine, because everything is checking out. The doctor prescribed the right medicines for that individual. He took that medicine religiously because he wanted to live. He knew that if he didn't, his blood pressure would be high, cholesterol would be off the charts. You know, we consider sin and the assault that it has against man's body, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Against his spirit, Ezekiel 18, verse 31. And against his soul, Ezekiel 18, verse 4. God has given us his word. And when we consider the word of God and where it came from him. We know for a fact that if we was to take God's word and apply it to our lives, it will not only help us with sin, but it will saturate our minds, causing us to live a life that is holy before God. The reason why I say all of that is because I want us tonight to talk about the benefits of God's word. There are great benefits to it. I was talking to Brother Corey Hall today between services, and we were talking about repetition. And sometimes as preachers, we don't want to preach the same lesson. Well, I just preached that last week. I just preached that last month. And he brought out an excellent point that was worthy of my consideration. I believe it was worthy of yours. He said the Hebrews, what they would do with their children, they would teach their children over and over and over the alphabet. They would teach them over and over and over passages like Matthew 22, 37 through 40, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Over and over and over. Repetition. And as we was talking, I said, you know, I wonder why we don't preach the same sermons. We learn from repetition. We are reminded of what Adam did in the garden. We are reminded of what God did by sending his son. We are reminded about the blood of Christ. And we ought to be reminded every single opportunity that we have. I believe some congregations of the Lord's people have gone off because they have left the basics. They have left the repetition of God's word. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 as we follow a chain of thinking. As I was talking to the teenagers this morning, I was bringing out some of these points because they are vital to our understanding. What is the goal of the word of God? What is the purpose of God's word? Well, I'm pretty sure we can bring in two or three different things, but when you have a specific passage that tells you the purpose of the commandment, the end of the commandment, the goal of the commandment is love. That's the goal. God has a goal for his people who are going to be following after his word. God not only wants to know the people, but the people should have a desire to be known by God. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5, notice what your Bible there says. Now, the purpose of the commandment, this is the King James, New King James Version. The end of the commandment, the New King James renders, is love. Notice out of what? From a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Notice, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Here's the point I want to make, that the purpose of God's word is to develop love. The end of it is love. God wants us to be a people of love. You go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, you'll see the definition of love there. God gives us his own definition. We don't have to go to the world to figure out what it is. We don't have to go to the world to get to the prescription of love or the purpose of his command. In Matthew 22, 37 through 40, I'm not going to read that. We've just quoted it a few minutes ago. But here, remember, they come and they're asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Mark brings out something a little bit extra, Nate. He says strength. In essence, your whole being. And you couple that passage with 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 23, as we are supposed to bring forth our whole being to God. Sanctify you wholly. What's the purpose of God's word? What does it do for us? Well, it puts us in a position where we can bear fruit. Now, who wants to have a peach tree outside and brag about this peach tree for 2 or 3 years, and then on the maybe 4th or 5th year, it begins to bear fruit, and once it begins bearing fruit, it's not bearing anything. Who wants to brag on a tree like that? Not God. There's a purpose for the commandment. The purpose of the commandment is love, but God wants to produce some things in us. As well as we were studying miracles for this quarter, I was telling the kids that, you know, we can look at the miracles and the purpose of the miracles and what miracles do. They confirm the messenger and they confirm the message. But eventually you got to get to the word. It's the word of God that God wanted to have into the hearts of the people, that he may be able to not only govern them, but navigate them. Yea, save them. Save us. So you consider some of these things, and I want us to turn to Romans chapter 7, verse number 4, and then Mark chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Romans 7, verse 4. I love this passage because in this passage, Paul is arguing with the Roman brethren about the law. And he gives this illustration of how a wife is bound to her husband as long as her husband lives. That's interesting. That as long as a man and a woman, if they're alive and they're married, she's bound to him. Well, if she is dead, that means that she is free to marry someone else. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 39, only in the Lord. But when we consider these things, friends, notice what he says in verse number 4, because this is a very powerful passage as it relates to the commandment and the purpose of Jesus being raised from the dead. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Remember when Jesus was on that cross? And when he died on that cross, he nailed that old law to the cross. But notice, in order that you may be married to another, who's that another? Jesus Christ. To him who raised him from the dead. Why? In order that you should bear fruit to God. What is the purpose of the commandment? What is the purpose of Jesus being raised from the dead? What is the purpose of his word? God wants us to bear fruit. This is no novel idea. This is no strange things to the people of God. I want us to turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 19 and 20. I don't have time to really deal with all of the parable of the sower, but friends, God's word is powerful. And it teaches us, and God wants us to be a people who are fruitful. In Mark chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. I just want to gather the latter part of this and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, notice what they do, and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This morning, I hope I'm not embarrassing her, but this morning I asked the class, I said, what does it mean to choke something? Sister Abby says to take the breath out of it. It's true. When the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches enter in, it murders the seed. That's a powerful point. Great concept. Sometimes you need to learn from those who are younger than you. And as I was thinking about this, notice the next verse. And friends, this is a powerful point that Jesus is making. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word. Not gossip, not lies, not fables and idle talk, but the word. Accept it and bear fruit. It's interesting. The parable is this, Luke 8, verse number 11, the seed is the word of God. God wants us to be recipients of his word, accept his word, in order for us to bear fruit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and the list goes on. He wants us to bear these things in our lives. This is how we identify with God. This is how we're one with him. And notice the point that he makes. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. I love this about God. God doesn't expect me to perform and produce like Mark. And he doesn't expect Mark to produce like Nate. And Nate to produce like Dennis. And Dennis to produce like Rick. No, everyone is producing according to what they can produce. So therefore, there's no competition in Christ, no comparison in Christ. It's a beautiful thing that the Word of God, it helps us, it encourages us, it gives us a goal. And the goal is love. Why? 1 John 4, verse 8, 18, God is love. I remember talking to a brother one time, who was talking about that 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. And he brought out an excellent point concerning that passage as relates to love and how that is the epitome of life. The epitome of life is love. You know what many struggle with in their lives? Love. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving your enemy. Loving your God. And then we have these misconceptions of love that some people have in the world. But then number two, the word of God, the purpose of it is to sanctify us. Look at John 17. In John 17, verse 17, notice what Jesus says in his prayer. He's talking to his Father. And notice what he says in verse number 17, sanctify, set them apart by your truth. Thy word is truth. Brother Bonner, this is elementary. I know these things already. Good. You're being reminded. Because we need to be reminded that we are a set apart people. How? By the word. Ephesians 5 and verse number 26. Notice what Paul tells the Ephesian brethren. Notice what he says to the church there. It's a powerful concept worthy of our consideration. Ephesians 5 and verse number 26. Notice what your Bible says. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Why? In order that he may sanctify and cleanse her. How, Paul? With the washing of water by the word. Let's take a time out. If there's anything that's going to cleanse our hearts, if there's anything that's going to saturate our minds and cause the impurities to go out of it, it's going to be this beautiful book right here. The words of this beautiful book. Which means the more that I flush my soul and my mind and my spirit and my intellect and my will, the more I flush it with this, the pure water, clean water, that living water is going to flush out the impurities in my heart. That's a novel idea, Rick. The more that I read God's word and I accept it, the more of the negativity, the more of the sinful thoughts, the more of those idle things that are in my heart, they're going to be flushed out. Truly believe that this is the source of great courage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, notice what Paul tells the Thessalonian brethren. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13, notice, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation, for deliverance. How, Paul? Through. This is the vehicle that God chose. Through sanctification by the Spirit. And what else, Paul? And belief in the truth. God, how are you going to clean me up? How are you going to make me pure and whole? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Can I have one without the other? No, you can't. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 22 and following. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice this chain of reasoning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and following. Since you have purified your souls, how, Peter? In obeying the truth. Through, here's the vehicle, the Spirit. In sincere love of the brethren. That's the highest form of love that a man or a woman can obtain. Love one another fervently. Meaning, don't wane in your love. With a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through, I love the King James Version uses, by the word of God. Is that right? By the word of God. By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Why, Paul? Why, Peter, I'm sorry? Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withered, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All right, let's take a little intermission right here. Let's think about this for a second. He brings up this illustration that we see. Using flour and grass and things that's going to wither away and burn up, if you will, later on. But then he contrasts it with something that's going to be eternal, something that will never go away, something that will usher us up, if you will, according to John 4, into eternal life. Question. What's the end of the commandment? What's the purpose of the commandment? Love. Where is God? In heaven. Who is God? God is love. Well, yeah, God is spirit and God are some other things, of course. But for this lesson's sake, God is love. And because God is love, he wants us to grow in his love. He wants us to grow in that. Friends, I know for a fact that one of the most difficult things to do is to be consistent in our love, not only for God, but for our fellow man. We wouldn't have so much hatred. We wouldn't have so much backbiting. We wouldn't have people fighting and killing one another and murdering one another. If we can just get them to see the need to have fervent love, especially the Lord's church. I want to go back to that point that Sister Abby brought out concerning the choking. Can you imagine? Would we allow a murderer to come into our midst? Who would allow a murderer to come into our home and watch television with us, knowing that one day he's going to murder us? Would we allow that? I venture to say no. But sometimes we allow those things into our lives that murder the word right out of our hearts. It chokes it. And I thought about this. The purpose of God's word is to give us life. Yet, sometimes we allow things and opportunities and people to enter into our lives, into our hearts. And it actually chokes out that which gives us life. There's a purpose for the word. Finally, God's word not only has a purpose, not only does it sanctify, but go to 3, verses 15 and following. Look at what the Bible says. God's word actually equips us. It gives us everything that we need. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse number 15, Paul, as he is talking to this young evangelist, says something powerful and really gives praises to Timothy's grandmother and mother. But notice what he says, "And from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice the benefits of the scriptures, the benefits of the word, the benefits of the commandments. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for learning, doctrine, for reproof, evidence, for correction, improvement in life, for instruction, training in right living, acceptable to God, that the man of God may be complete, literally fit for learning, thoroughly equipped for every honorable good work. Now, I wanted to throw in those definitions as I was going through, because I believe that they were going to be beneficial for us. God's word. I mean, is there anything else? I like what Job said, that I love your word more than my necessary food. It saturates my mind. It causes me to think and have common sense. Some of the older people in our generation are saying common sense is not too common today. Could it be because of the lack of exposure to the word of God? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Notice what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Notice what he says here. Familiar passage. I believe this ought to be a memory verse for us. "But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith moral excellence." Friends, God's word teaches us moral excellence, the application of it. It promotes and cultivates moral excellence, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control. King James uses temperance. To temperance, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And notice, to brotherly kindness, love. It's interesting that Peter goes on to say, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, we ought to be trying to learn more and more about who God is. Because the more I learn about who God is, the better my life will be, but the richer and the deeper my love will be as well. And when I do that, I'll give you this last passage, then we'll probably talk for a second. Hebrews chapter 5. We visited this morning, but I wanted us to look at it just one more time. Verses 12 and following. You know, there are some people in our lives that they just talk just to be talking. Anybody know people like that? They just run in their mouth just to be running there. Not saying anything bad English, but good understanding. They're just talking. And sometimes I think they're talking just to hear themselves talk. Not saying anything. There was a saying back in my day where it's talking loud, saying nothing. You'll never accuse God of doing that. Every time God says something, every time you find something in God's word that relates to him, it's always going to have great meaning to it. Notice what he says, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles, the rudiments of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age, meaning mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, here it is, to discern. That's the key right there. Discernment. It is God's word that teaches me how to discern good and evil. It teaches me how to discern those things that are right and wrong. And it also teaches me to discern those things that are hard to decipher at times. What do we mean by this? You know, a person can live a good life never reading the word of God, but they will never live a godly life without reading it. Never. They'll never reach the epitome of love without a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ and a saturation of abiding in the word of God. Never. That's why every day I want to encourage us, read the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Surround yourself with the word of God. Why? Because the more I saturate my mind with God's word, the more I think like him. The more I think like him, the more I am like my God. So I said all of that to say this. Jesus, oh, I wish I could get my class to go ahead and do this. We've been talking about the transmission of God's word and how Jesus got the word from his Father, John 12, verse 48 through 50, and how it was Jesus and the Father who gave it to the Holy Spirit, John 14, 26, John 16, 7 through 9, John 16, verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and how the Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles to write down the very things that we read right now. And that's why Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Hold on. The very fact that God has given us his word, he has given us scripture to read. We get to involve ourselves with the very divine nature, which is God himself. So because of the scriptures, I can understand what the apostles taught. Because of what the apostles taught, I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I can know the very will of God, Ephesians 5, verse number 11. All of that so I can grow to the epitome of love. The end of the commandment is love. Out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. I want to encourage us, friends, teach your children God's word so they can know what true love is. There are many people in our world today looking for love in all the wrong places. And some of them have Bibles on their living room table, on their coffee table, sitting right next to their bed, collecting dust. Let it not ever be named among us. God's word teaches us what true love is. And when we know what true love is, this is bad English with good understanding, then you don't have to worry about what it ain't. All right? It's good to see some of y'all smiling. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider, what is true love? True love comes from the commandment. Let us saturate our minds with the commandment. And let us abide in the commandment. Well, the commandment teaches that if man wants to have his sins washed away, he must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's the one that God sent to save man from their sins, to die on that cruel cross. Believe that he is the Christ. Confess, repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. coming in contact with the blood of Christ, and this is the only way that one can come into a relationship with the Father, is by having their sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Or maybe you're a child of God and your love is not where it needs to be. You're struggling in your love. I believe that just as that doctor took that person off the medicine, he had to do what the doctor said. If we take in God's word and we abide in his word and we rid self, our love will begin to develop and cultivate and grow just like God wants it to, which will help our marriages, help our children, help our co-workers, even help our in-laws and outlaws. It will help. And then people can genuinely see Christ living in us, the hope of glory, as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.